You are all weirdos.
Weird science is the revolution. Weird science is the revolution.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Weird Science Marvel Comics podcast. This is episode 32. As always, to begin with my man, Matt. What up, Matt?
What up, Jim?
What up? And we have a bunch of books. Me and you actually have four books, a good variety. We have an Ultimate Black Panther. We have a couple Spider books. And we have a Ghost Rider. But is it a Ghost Rider? We'll find out. We're going to find out. There's some weird pacing. Everything seems like it's kind of like not going forward much. It's kind of just kind of like twiddling its thumbs. But that doesn't mean it's bad. Some of these are a little better than the others. We'll see. We'll see which ones I think people might be able to guess. But before we get into that, let me remind everybody that you can go check us out at our website, WeirdScienceMarvelComics.com, where there's reviews from Sus Gabe. You could go over to the YouTubes, and that is at the Weird Science Comics. And then also you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/weirdscience, where you can get a bunch of exclusive shows, some that me and Matt do. We're finishing up House of M. I will tell Matt right now that you'll be very happy that I did put a little post on YouTube, and I also tweeted it out as well, but on YouTube saying, hey, we're doing this House of M. And most of the comments were, why are you doing that garbage? I actually thought to myself, like, oh, crap. Like, maybe we're not the only ones who aren't really loving that story that much. But we're still having fun talking about it. And we go through different events, flip-flop between Marvel and DC. And I think that this episode, we didn't even say anything when it happened. But we passed the 100th mark. We're actually at, like, episode 104. But we have done things like the original Secret Wars and the newer one we've done. Crisis on Infinite Earths, a lot of stuff that we've done. You could always go and check that out. But like I said, all the links are in the show notes. Eventually, we'll get to the point where we will have a pick and have some of the books each week have a exclusive podcast. But we're not there yet. But we're here to talk these comics. We're going to start with the big book. The big book at Marvel is always going to have Ultimate, I think, in front of it right now.
Exactly.
And this is Ultimate Black Panther, and that is written by Brian Hill, art by Stefano Caselli, colors by David Coryell, letters by VC's Corey Petit. Last issue, we ended up seeing that T'Challa finds out, okay, where can we go and fight Ra and Khonshu? And the deal was that where there was no signal must be where they are because they're hiding the signal and all this. And T'Challa goes, and there is a mole. He gets shot down, and it seemed like he was in some trouble. In the meantime, we're trying to figure out who the mole is. That's the big story of all this. Who I still think it's Okoye.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of people think it's Shuri. And then other people think it's, you know, those witches and this and that. I hope that it's somebody that we've known in the... And there's not that many characters we've seen so far. That was where I said was maybe the misplay of having the idea of a mole before we see more than five different characters. But I still think it's Okoye. She is not very nice, but I think it's a misplay here. What do you think?
Yeah,
I mean, it's so odd to start this way, right?
It's so, it seems to me like it's really, really pointing towards her. So anybody else would be a surprise, but.
And what you have at the beginning is Shuri, she's training and you end up where Okoye shows up and they start talking trash to each other. Now you have a thing. Me and you talked about it. We don't know, you know, the royalty lineage or whatever, but Okoye being the queen, but Shuri being the sister of the king, they're kind of going back and forth of how they should, you know, respect each other. Both of them seem to think they want more respect, especially Okoye.
It's all about the respect.
This shows Okoye not being very good because if you're there, nobody else is there. Like if you're there by yourself and it's just Shuri, Okoye, and Shuri says, listen, Okoye, my brother will be fine. I don't think that she has to say that's queen. Okay, it's too much to me, especially from what we know, but this is the Ultimate Universe. So it kind of gives you that really mean, like it felt really mean. And then Shuri then's turning her back.
Oh, she didn't like that.
Yeah, I think that you could play this, though, as I think Shuri knows what she's doing. But you could play it as that she just looks at her as, you know, a sister-in-law, not just the queen. And they're concerned about T'Challa, who both of them should be concerned about and love, but it is Shuri just basically saying he'll be fine. He does things that he does, and it'll take as long as it takes. So at the end, the big weird play is also Shuri turns it back again at the end, but Okoye doesn't say, but this whole idea of you have to respect me, well, you need to trust me. There's that back and forth, but it's weird because Okoye doesn't seem like she's concerned with T'Challa. She seems more about having respect from Shuri, and Shuri's a little too loose on it as well. So I don't know.
I mean, the king is missing and they're just squabbling over just nonsense.
I mean, they end up getting to the point where they say, hey, let's fight. But it doesn't really mean that much. They're just going to fight and Shuri wins. But what does that mean?
With the Jean-Claude Van Damme kick.
Yeah, she does. Pretty good, too. It's pretty good. I like it. And yeah, even that, like, Okoye is, like, upset, but Shuri, you know, picks her up. And you end up, Okoye says, is he on the right path? And yeah, Shuri says he believes he is, but does she know more than we know?
She has to.
With the thing, it seems like maybe she was pointing him toward.
She knows more, and she probably suspects Okoye, so she's not saying anything to her.
And that's the thing. If you want to look at it at different lenses, it seems like Okoye is trying to get information.
Yeah,
it
that's
seems
what it
like
is.
She is there.
Like, hey,
to get
we're friends. We've known each other for a long time. We're sisters, basically. Tell me stuff.
Maybe you could have played. Maybe this is a weird setup because we see Okoye here saying, you call me queen. You know, don't turn your back. That's not a way to get somebody to give you that inside info. If we now we've seen this, if we see the scene again where she goes and like, oh, man, you know, sister, what up? High five. Like, then, you know, she's working at the wrong angle if it is her trying to get, because it really does feel like she's trying to get information so that she can send it off to Ron Khonshu. And that doesn't seem that, you know, out of the realm of possibility. It really seems like it. I don't trust her.
Yeah.
But then it seems too on the nose. So actually, the way that it plays out, it's done pretty well. Because you get that back and forth. It's too
it
on
is.
The nose, but it might be. But it could be Shuri, but it might be the Dora Milaje. So you're wondering. But then we go off and we do see, because when you had that crash and T'Challa crashed, he was saved by Killmonger and Storm. So they're out hunting. This is where, again, though, we're at this point, we're kind of far into the... We're almost halfway through the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And all we had was sparring between... It was done well. I liked the dialogue a lot, but you didn't get much. So then we go and see T'Challa with Killmonger, and it's just, hey, we're hunting. You know, we end up using all of the animal. You're there and you're Wakanda, and I want to help the, you know, regular people. It's the things that you would guess Killmonger, but Killmonger is actually better than I thought he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But even like that, there's a little bit that it's cool enough when they end up having this, you know, gazelle that they hunt and they're leaving, and you end up, he's like, I know how to hunt. And then Killmonger says, well, then you skin it, get our meat, but make it look rough. So
yeah, so he has to make bad cuts and
it
stuff.
Looks like that animal,
uh-huh,
you know, killed it. That was kind of cool. But is that the wow thing? It's not a wow moment.
No, but it's
nice. I mean, it works. It actually, like, all of this, and I'm telling you, nothing really happens in this issue. I still like it. Like it. I like the art a lot too. But on the cover, if people are expecting this because it's really pushing, like, hey, everybody, Killmonger and Storm, which we saw already, if you're expecting wow moments where Storm's going to come out and start lightning at...
Yeah, Killmonger has his mask and his axe.
Yeah, you're not going to get that.
No,
it's very slow, low key. You know, it's a slow burn, but I do like it, and it does give you character work and kind of gets you set in things. So, and I have a theory that we'll talk about by the end that I think this and the Peach Momoko X-Men book are kind of caught in. But you end up where, yeah, they're talking, and he says, "I'm going to show you this stuff. I'm going to show you what Ron Khonshu might be after, but they don't even know they're after yet, the secret deal." And he ends up putting a hood over him, and then he gets there and he says, "Don't you trust me?" He's like, well, you know, we're going to get to this place, we'll figure this out. They do actually say then that they trust him, but they're at this Temple of the Panther,
and it's somewhere else. It's not Wakanda, it's somewhere else in Africa.
It's somewhere else in Africa, and it's one of those where T'Challa then activates his suit. Killmonger says, oh, don't you trust
me? You don't need
you know this. And he says, no, you know, you have your trust issues, I have mine. They go in only to not be able to use the suit anyway in a little bit. Starts getting wonky and starts going out, and this, I think, it's the idea. He says to T'Challa, you know, you think you know Africa. You don't. And you think you know Black Panther, and you really don't know everything. This is stuff that you don't know. And especially, I mean, with the suit going out, and he goes into this, they end up seeing vibranium at one point, and they're like, I think that, you know, is this what they're after? And we did see that that is one of the things that Ron Conchu are after it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he says there's more to it, and Moon Knight, that's what Moon Knight seeks, the vibranium. And they end up, okay, well, what are we doing? And that's where, and is it the vibranium that fritzes out the suit?
It seems weird, right?
Like that much there. So we're getting that, and then you have some cool things even before that. There's a big giant, you know, what is it? Shaft. And they jump into this. This just happened.
The big giant shaft.
Yeah, there's a big giant shaft. See, we're getting sexy again. This just happened in the Green Lantern book last week at DC, where they jump into the big giant shaft, and then it has air that kills, but it's Storm who's doing it.
It's pretty cool. They jump down, and she kind of guides them down.
Yep. And they get down. But again, if you're thinking this is going to be this crazy, oh my God, Storm, she's just there. And I do like what she says here. And she talks about the idea of, you know, almost going away from the idea of mutants, because they don't really know what that means. Like, it's not an ability, it's a responsibility. You know, things like, it seemed kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this whole thing is just, we're going to show you something, prepare your mind, and I'm waiting for something crazy. Like, I'm waiting for something that's going to be, oh my God. And what they do is kind of lead them down a hallway. And then they go into a room that has a big dais with all these skeletons around it and what looks like a moon in the chamber.
It kind of looks exactly like the moon.
Yeah, I don't know what it means. I mean, and again, we have Moon Knight. We have the whole thing with Ra's al Ghul. So what is this? What is the play of? And they keep saying the idea that they don't know. The Moon Knight's Ra's al Ghul, they don't know what's here. But if they do find out, they're going to really go crazy with it, and even have like, Mother Best, no, son of Wakanda, I don't know what is here, but I know your God is not. So they don't even know what it is.
No, and if you touch it, I guess you die, maybe? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, it looks like everybody around it's dead.
And dead for a while, too.
It's weird. It's a very slow-paced deal. But what would you give this?
Well, and just before I get my score, I think the Storm stuff is cool. Like, you're right. T'Challa thinks it's a skill, like she learned it, but it's really just so much more than that. It's like something that's a part of her being, you know, that you can't even really explain
how it is. Yeah. And with that, everybody has their theories of why the X-Men are like they are. Maybe Charles isn't there. You didn't have anybody. Like, you would have Storm thinking she's a goddess. You would have her thinking that just think it's that magic. People would have all sorts of ideas.
Yeah, I'd give this I'd give it an 8.5. I think it's a little slow, but it's still good.
Just that at the end of, oh my God, oh no, they don't even know what it is, and we're even debating. So
I like that, though. Why do we need to know? We should be able to learn what it is.
We'll see. But quick enough. And it was very quick to read too. I was shocked. But my whole theory is that we have that Ultimates book coming out in June. And I was told by a bunch of people that the Ultimate X-Men, that people are upset, oh my God, it's not an X-Men book, we don't have mutants, we don't have this, that I've been told specifically that by the end of issue 4, that you would have it open up and there would be more to it, more maybe classic stuff mixed in, I don't know. But it might make sense that when the Ultimates book comes out, all of a sudden things do open up with heroes and people remembering or whatever the case may be. And that would be that same month as that issue 4. So maybe that's it. Maybe these books are kind of edging towards that in the slower pace, and then we'll hit. And again, if the Ultimates come out and big things happen worldwide, I think it would affect Black Panther and things like that.
Absolutely.
So we'll see. We shall see what the deal is. I'm just looking at this. We're all the talk we're doing, and we see Shuri on the throne there in the next issue. But we'll move on to the next book. And the next book is one of our favorites. It's Spider-Boy. Spider-Boy number 6, written by Dan Slott. Art by Paco Medina and Walden Wong on the one, the Man Upstairs part, with colors by Eric Arcinega. Then you have, so you're now a humanimal. Art by, why not just say manimal, but I guess you can't say that. I can't yell that. So you're now a humanimal, art by Julian Shaw, with colors by Thayer Sifuente Sujo, DC Joe Caramagna on letters. And this has been one of our favorite books, even despite everybody yelling at us that they don't like Dan Slott or that it's goofy, they don't need another spider character. I told you that this is one of those, we mentioned it last week, where the main story was 17 pages. I remember us counting. And then the backup was like three. We got basically a regular sized issue, but they're charging more because there's a backup. In this, there's not even that many. I don't know what they're doing.
There's a middle up now.
Yeah, well, this should be, it always should have been at least $3.99. You're going to get more people who buy it then. I thought that it might have been a good play. And the way that they're doing it now, make it $2.99 and actually entice people to give it a shot. And kids themselves getting it would be kind of cool, you know. But in this, it's another one of these issues that, yeah, you kind of go forward. But even at the beginning, you repeat. It's not me and you were talking on the Slack chat that we talk on before. The idea, it's not recap, it's repeat. We saw Christina get thrown into this chamber. At that point, she yelled, oh, no, not that, because they're going to turn her into an animal or a humanimal. And now we see that it was a pigeon. Me and you thought it was going to be something way worse.
Because it was like scratching and scratching.
Oh,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. And she's like, no, which no, I don't want to turn into that.
They do that.
Yeah, I mean, pigeons are rat with wings. I mean, they're awful.
I thought her reaction was a little over the top. Please, not that.
She's more upset here than she pops out of this thing because
she's happy
Bailey.
As can be.
Yeah, Bailey is like, oh, no, hey, I'll help her. All these other humanimals are grabbing her. I also like that we need to have the domed jar. It says pigeon, so we know. And in case, you might mix that up with, say, a snake. But she gets zapped into a pigeon. And she comes out, and she's still got her braids, right? She actually looks to me like older.
She's older, yeah. She's definitely older.
And she's like, it's okay, Spidey B. I don't think it worked. And then he's like, no, Chrissy, you're a pigeon. And she goes, whatever. Pigeon this, pigeon that. She actually thinks it's not a big deal. You'll save me. I'm like, I don't know. You've been around Bailey a lot.
Faith in the Spider Boys there. He's in shackles right now, being held by an ape man.
He's got an ape man on him and he's in shackles. And they're just like, take her away, boys. And they take Pigeon Christine away. And so the big thing of this, though, is that Madame Monstrosity is trying to get Bailey to tell her how. Now, it's not even tell her how. It's at first, tell her how I forgot about you. And then once she figures that out, you twist and turn to the point where she wants to find what the big way that she made Spider-Boy, that seems to be the missing ticket to maybe make these animals back into humans. But she's the one who made them into animals, so I don't even know why she wants to. But then she set up a slave farm with animals, promising them if they worked for 13 years, they could be freed. I think it's a mess. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. I mean, then in this, just because we're not going to go forward with the story much, you're going to have Christina Pigeon watch a intro film of what it's like to be a humanimal.
And they got the intro. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves a treat.
Oh, it's like I'm going to go get my brass knuckles. So you have that. And she's like watching and basically it's like a couple jokes and gags. And hey, so you're a humanimal. Guess what? That's awesome. You get powers. You'll have to figure them out. You might have super strength. You might end up being a chameleon. You might even be able to grab a book from the top shelf with your tongue like a frog. And then they're like, okay, but what you're really going to do is you're going to work on this farm here for me and your slaves.
If you're a good cook, you're going to be a cook. You're going to be in the fields. You're going to be...
If you're an outdoorsy type, I actually
in the lab.
They play a game then where there's a horse and it gets almost Animal Farm-esque.
Oh, yeah.
It's like boxer. And he's like, I'm out of here. I'm a horseman and I'm heading back to town. I thought the play could have been, oh, you can go back into town. They're like, we can't go back. Like, see somebody being run out of town with pitchforks and torches. But she kills him.
Yeah, up to this point, everything seemed cheery and hopeful. And then that she's like, oh, sure, you can leave. And then he just gets chopped up.
I just thought it'd be the better play is like, you could leave, but nobody's going to accept you. You're going to come back.
Good luck, horseman.
And when they say the one, I guess it's like a big giant ox, is like, we're real far away from any other. That's where I thought that's why. You don't want to get near anybody when you're monstrosities of humanimals. But this horse is like, and of course the horse, he goes through into the recycling door and then he yells and she destroys him. And then the joke is, I don't want to beat a dead. Oh, I don't want to go that far.
Well, also, it's also interesting that she acts like you choose to be a humanimal. It's like she kind of kidnaps you and makes you.
There's a weird play Like, and the idea of...
Maybe it used to be like this. Maybe that's how it was.
Here's the thing. I mean, I get it's not played out well, but the concept is still... She wants to get... It's not the humanimals that she's trying... She's not trying to be, oh, I'm going to have an army of these humanimals. She is trying to be able to go back because that's what, you know, her big...
The high evolutionary. She's trying to...
The high evolutionary wanted to have something that you can evolve them, de-evolve them, evolve them, and Spider-Boy was the one. I think you kind of miss out on that here. Like, you kind of... And now we've been reading it. We know. But this idea of evil, 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 I wish that they would show until the end when she's like, oh, my love, and she's like making out almost with an owl. But you end up where you do even see this guy here. And I like at one point his joke is, here's my, you know, lovely husband. Who? And he turns around because that's his owl joke. But then you have that owl with us. It's
well, nonsense. Because she's selling it like she reversed it and he's back to human, but he's not. He's stuck in the owl.
Yeah, and you have both are separate. You have that at the end. But at the end of the movie, it's weird because everybody's gone. She watches the movie. It's like, oh, where is everybody?
It must have been a great movie. She just wasn't even paying attention to people leaving.
Great, right? Yeah, she was enthralled. And she just kind of wanders out later to the fields. And it's basically you're going to get pages or at least a page of, okay, here's the deal. If you end up where you work this amount of time, you'll get a name because they're calling by number, but then she says her name, but then they don't. And then if you work this much more, you get to do this. And then in 13 years, you can actually be turned back to human again. I mean, it's a weird play because also we know that at this moment can't happen anyway, but they're just kind of like hanging. She's like, I don't mind. Spider Boy will save me. He made it out of here. And then you have what? Spider-Boy, and I think that might be a kangaroo. Yeah, it is. Why is it a kangaroo? Where'd they get a kangaroo? Man, you know, that's a myth. We heard about that story. That's ridiculous. Nobody ever made it out of here. But then we see Bailey trying to fight his way out. He's fighting, you know, grasshoppers, and he's fighting a mouse with the big giant shotgun now, and the ape, and he's trying to get out. But the big thing here is that, you know, they have Christina, but they have more. We already kind of guessed that the mom was the cat, Tabby.
Yeah.
And this is where Spider-Boy, and I think you lose a little in translation because then she starts yelling, oh, what is it? Why can't I remember you? He's like, ha ha, I know something you don't. And she says, tell me. And he's like, oh, I get it. That's why you set this up. And then she just kind of reveals, no, it's not. Like, really, Christina was just to get him there. But I wish they would have just let her go. They didn't have to turn her into...
I know, it's pretty bad.
A stupid deal. Like, it really is nothing towards anything of getting turned into a thing. Because by this, the whole play is your mom's a cat. She doesn't remember you. You know how they don't remember. It seems that that's a thing. Bailey, either he's lying or it is a thing that he does know why. We didn't think he did. But if he can reveal that to her, she might then be able to remember him, reverse it. I don't get it. It's a little bit down the line of this, of it's the only way your mom will be able to remember you and possibly turn back.
Yeah. So basically, you're right. The mom doesn't remember him. So now he has to give his whole story so that the mom will remember him, which is the most important thing to him.
And it is down the line because in that, I still don't think he wants to be remembered by cat mom. I think he wants mom to be mom, but...
Yeah. He'll take it, whatever he can get, I guess.
Just talking about remembering, then we think that Madame Monstrosity, once she'll be able to work the magic again, she'll remember what she did. But again, I mean, you look at Bailey, even at this, he's in his monster mode with his costume on. He's not exactly normal. So what do these things end up as? But it's a little, like I said, it's a little stretched out and like weird. You know,
well, he doesn't even
presented.
He doesn't even fit in with the other humanimals because he looks like more humanoid and has regular face.
Again, is that she was able to perfect that? But in the meantime, the mom's hanging out with Boy Spider.
I know, she's all over.
Who's the awful? But when Bailey is in beast mode, he just looks like Boy Spider. Yeah, he has like the things out his, but he doesn't look that crazy. And the mom's looking at a kid in a costume and. Yeah,
the same thing.
I don't know who you are. Get out of here. But he does agree. He says, you win. This issue is a little wonky. And then you end up, I'm telling, the ideas are there and they're kind of coming together from what we saw. but they're coming together in weird ways that don't quite click because he's not giving you the right information, I think. Because, again, the whole thing is remembering. It's not changing yet, but you kind of think that it has to be. But then there's also Christina. So she's happy. She thinks he's going to save her. And then we don't know what's going on because now Bailey's just getting tortured to get the things going. And she ends up like, oh, it's time to, you know, punch the time clock and get out of here, and goes. And this is the big reveal that the husband that she says I can change back and forth, that's the big thing, that she can't. Mm-mm. The humanoid version, who looks like Owsley, he's more the owl, and the owl itself is more, but they're two separate entities. And even then, I had to kind of sit there and think, oh, I see what's going on. Like, it wasn't like a, oh, God, right away, it was kind of weird and wonky by the end.
And did he change into an owl because he looks like an owl? I mean, he's destined to be an owl.
Well, I guess, but I think she tried to separate them to make her back to the husband, and then you got the separate versions of two.
So you don't think that's what he looked like before?
I think that maybe it was a little bit, but I think that, yeah, the deal. Again, though, the only way to do it is to put an owl in that stupid chamber. So if she did it, she's like, you already look like an owl. Let's go with it.
Right on.
You
the
know
nose.
What I mean? It's not like all of a sudden I get thrown in there and I somehow look like an alligator, but they throw a mouse in and I become an alligator. I don't know, but he's eating, the humanoid version of it is eating a mouse while he's, the butler mouse is looking very terrified. But he had a shotgun earlier, so he can handle himself.
Yeah, don't mess with him.
Yeah, that guy's pretty
His name
tough.
Is Squeakerton. That guy.
Yeah, Squeakerton. At one point, I think I thought Squeakerton was the dad. But, you know, and it would be funny, the mouse and the cat, they're always fighting, those two. Yeah, we're at issue 6. We've done a trade, or maybe a trade plus one, and it just, I don't know, it doesn't feel like the story's going very far. I still like Bailey, but I kind of wish that this was more. I wanted Madame Monstrosity, but I didn't think it was to be convoluted between the idea of turning you into an animal, but then I can't unturn you from an animal. But I tried it. It didn't work. Now I need Spider-Boy to do that because he was the one I did it to, but I don't remember that. So I need to remember that. But then there's the mom. There's too much going on for a book that should be just, you know, just fun, all ages stuff. You should be coming in. They should be fighting different crazy animals and then get out of there. You still have his buddy there that he's going to want to, you know, change back. It's, I don't know. But what would you give this?
I'm still on board. I'm a Spidey Boy fan. I'm going to go with a 7.5 on this one.
Yeah, I'm a 5.5. I didn't really like it at all. The art's pretty cool, but it's just nothing. I mean, we're getting a film strip, and I'm telling you, the story has gotten so convoluted with this weird idea of splicing and, you know, back and forth evolving, that it's kind of losing its way. But we'll see. You could get out of it very quick. Bailey can remember. But again, is the character less of a character if everybody remembers him then? Or will it just be Madame Monstrosity remembers? Because I don't kind of want anybody. I like how it was with people wondering.
Yeah, it might
and, you
be
know, kind of going.
A local area that's affected, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everybody.
Or if you just find out something and then all of a sudden it makes sense in your mind, and I don't know how it works. Or she may not find out anything. Maybe he'll trick her, but we'll have to see.
The cover for next issue looks cool with all the
I just hope it gets a little better.
Captain
America. Well, again,
and the
with
action
that
figure is back.
We didn't even mention it is where you had Christina Pigeon. She calls some pigeons in. I'm sure she's going to use them as homing pigeons to call in.
Oh, yeah. She
the
talks
Avengers.
To them.
Yeah, she talks to them and sends them off. So I think that they're going to lead them. It's going to be like Lassie.
Well, because the whole point of the video was like you get these cool powers and stuff.
Yeah, it was like I said, everything's weird.
Because the only one that has powers is Hell if I Know.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, I guess she talks to pigeons. That was her power. She says, Bailey talks to spiders, I'll talk to pigeons.
What's Squeakerton's powers, though? Just to be a butler?
He could hold a shotgun. I guess as a mouse, you know, what is your power? You can eat cheese? I don't know. Annoy me? Scare the crap out of me? I don't want... The thing with mice, when if you step on them and stuff, their bones, like, separate, and they can go flat to get under doors and stuff. It's disgusting. Maybe that's what he does. He scares the crap out of them. But yeah, it just felt like it's missing that direction that it had before. And the direction was, hey, Bailey, he's kind of a damaged character. Somebody wants people to, even if they don't remember him, he wants to fit in and stuff. And then it's, I wanted the Men of Monstrosity, and it's kind of has gone on a
Jim demanded direction. It.
Yeah, but I thought it'd be something a little quicker and better and not convoluted, but it's got a little convoluted. Putting the Hive Evolutionary, and she really wants, that's the thing too. Remember, she seemed to want to sex up
the High Evolutionary.
And she's got this dude here, Owl Man.
Yeah, who cares about
it's
him?
Very odd.
A little short guy.
She seems to really like the owl part that's more of the human and the owl. All right. But we will move on to the next book. And the next book is Ghost Rider Final Vengeance number 2, written by Ben Percy, Danny Kim on art, Brian Valenza on colors and VCs, Travis Lanham on letters. The big deal of last issue was that unfortunately, it took till we got to the cliffhanger that we found out that the Hood is the new Ghost Rider, something that was announced 2 months earlier.
We forgot.
If you didn't hear the announcement, we did forget. We were kind of debating. But once you saw it, you remembered. Oh, yeah. They did do that. Now, in the meantime, our review that a lot of people, you know, had some problems with there, Matt, they thought that it was cool. Hey, we saw, you know, surfing Ghost Rider. We get to see on the pole stripper Ghost Riders. Like, he ended up, the Spirit of Vengeance was jumping back and forth, and then finds a suitable host, even though in this, it kind of feels like it was more of a deal that should have been that right away. And when we end up talking about this before we record it, the idea that this issue itself feels like it should have been the first issue. We should have went through the first. Yeah, you want to show Stripper working the pole, Spirit of Vengeance? Fine. Do that in 2 pages. Do 2 full-page spreads, even, where it's jumping around. Have it find the Hood and let's get going. Because when you get to the second issue, and I said it a bunch of times, even in the review, that I think that when we get to the next issue, it's going to feel like the book just started. That's what happens. But because it's still this, it feels like we're already behind in the whole scheme of things. Because when we get to this, it really is just going to be, hey, look at me, I'm the Hood, and this is what it's like to get the Spirit of Vengeance and become the new Ghost Rider. That's fine, but nothing really happens in this issue until we get to the cliffhanger. And even then, it's just, I'm going to take down and burn Chicago. And I'm like, when you're done there, go to Detroit. That place is a mess. Take that, Detroit. You know what I'm saying? They're done, go all the way back and go to Camden and take care of that place. So you have all that, and like you're left like, okay, by the end of this, do you like this because you like Ghost Rider and you just sit there and say, well, it's Ghost Rider. But is it showing you that we need to have the Hood as Ghost Rider? In the meantime, Johnny Blaze is in the background.
He's trapped by that spider monster thing.
You end up having Zebediah the Magician show up that was in the last run. Ben Percy, where he was the one that, you know, kind of snap out of it there, you know, Ghost Rider, snap out of it, Johnny, where he was in that illusion world where everything was fine. And then he had to realize that it wasn't play. At that point, I was actually enjoying the book where you had that weird thing going. But then it just became Monster of the Month and also that Talia War Road, all that stuff. But we get to this and we're just there with the Hood, who he burns a building then, because that's where he changed into the Spirit of Vengeance Ghost Rider. Then I love when he's yip, running down the road. Like, at that point, I'm thinking, is that how we're going to play this? He's not even going to have a vehicle. He's just going to sprint everywhere.
Well, that was my thing last this year. I'm like, what is he riding? He's got to ride something.
Yeah, so this, he's just running down the road. He's got white line fever. Yip, running down. So then when he does actually, then he goes and he's like in Train Spotting, where he's in the worst toilet. He's throwing up ash. But again, this is where it seems like Ben Percy made this a thing for the Hood, because he wanted to show you what it was like to first get the Spirit of Vengeance and become the Ghost Rider. It's nothing that is,
I'm sure,
really
that's been told
me
20 times.
By the end of this, I'm like, okay, I see it's the Hood. You're not showing me why uniquely I need to care about that, and this book is suffering because of it.
I'm pretty sure Nicolas Cage did this exact same thing in that movie, that Ghost Rider movie.
But did he run down the road? Like, I mean, he was running fast too. That cape going. Also, he's at a diner, right? I'm at the diner with you, and we see this guy
come in.
Is anybody going to say anything about that cape?
Nobody's going to serve him.
She's there. This lady's like, hey, you look tired. Hey, everything okay? He's like, look, baby, I got a cape on. I'm fancy. Serve me. And he ends up, man, I got to eat everything. I got to drink all this coffee. So he's like, I want it all. Give me the whole menu. That's always usually a joke when you have that, right? But they're doing it, which is also ridiculous. I mean, I really do think if you ended up, if, We should test this out. Me and you this weekend, we're going to go to a diner at like 2 a.m. and say we want the whole menu. Plus, we'll both wear capes. I'll say I'm the Count of Monte Cristo or something crazy like that. And see them say, you ain't getting the whole menu. Kick something.
I don't care how much money you have.
We can make you 10 meals or something, but you know that, right? Or they want you to pay first. There's no way they're making that whole menu because then you're scaring me. What? You think I can't pay my bill? No, no, no. You got a cape on. And you're just eating nonstop, whatever. We want you to leave. And then he ends up touching her and activates the idea where he can see all of her sins. Sins like stealing lipstick. I love
Thanks for touching me, dude.
Yeah, really. And also it goes up. It's like, oh, luckily he touches her lung to see that she might have killed her dad or stepdad by crushing up Tylenol. You sit there and say, does that work? Or is that a thing? And it's not really a wow thing. There's too many steps in this thing. And she's all like, oh my God, she falls back. I guess she's still alive, but he ended up like she's on fire at one point because of the touch. It's more than
but who knows
touch.
If it's real or not, the fire.
Yeah, it's weird.
Do you think, are cloaks just like jackets before jackets were invented? What's the point of a cloak?
They're a fancy thing. You got to have a swish it around and stuff. They're like, look at me. I know that you don't want to judge people, right? But somebody walks into my diner with a stupid cape like that, I'm telling them we're closed. We're closed there, capey. Get out of here. So they end up where, okay, he's there and he's like, okay, I see your sins. I taste them. They're delicious. Mm-hmm. Bada bing, bada boom, leaves. And so what happens then is he again talks about and actually gives us a little bit of a rundown. Hey, I ended up becoming the Hood. I had it all. I was even bigger than the Avengers, but then crap went wrong. And now I'm mad at Johnny Blaze and I end up making a deal. And now I get the spirit of vengeance. And while he's doing that, and again, that's first issue things. I know it's only the second issue, but we need a ride. And in this, we had talked about it before we started, but I'll say it now. We don't like the art that much in here.
Yeah,
at points, it has some cool colors, but the art itself and where in this, like to me, this should be the wow moment of the book where we see what Ride, but it even seems like this doesn't even have to be permanent Ride, but I want him to get something that is like really cool, really over the top, and even play the idea of, because he's walking through like a tunnel and all these vehicles are there. I want to see something where I say, oh my God, wouldn't it be cool if he was Winnebago, you know, Ghost Rider? And you'd be like, that's stupid. But then we see like a Corvette or we see some crazy things. See something that, though, at this point, we're like, oh, that'd be really cool, but it's so drab. And then just some Yahoo comes with a motorcycle, and he does the Steven Seagal back in the day. He clotheslines the guy, gets on the thing in the big plate. It's not even a full page. This is the vehicle he's getting. And it looks like Danny Ketch's motorcycle. It looks almost exactly like it. Like, why? Why aren't you doing something original? Because with the Hood here, not that that's not original, but it's generic. That's all this feels like. It's generic Ghost Rider. Look at me. I'm puking up ash. I touch this girl and find out that she stole lipstick. I'm eating a lot of food and wearing a cape in the diner. Oh, my God. And then he gets Danny Ketch's lookalike. Danny Ketch is like, I want money for this. I need to be like, he should get compensation. And so there you go. He has that. And then he just gets off it. So you're not even getting like a cool thing.
And then it changes back into the original bike.
Yeah, it changes
bike.
Back. So he's just going to be able to grab anything. I'd love to see where he like tells some guy, give me a piggyback, right?
That thing turns I thought he was going to ride on this vampire bouncer guy.
That's what I think, that he becomes the vehicle then. This works out. If he was back being a stripper on the pole, it'd be pretty cool. But he goes to this bar. I mean, this is like bing, bing, boom. He ends up where he needs some vengeance. He's going to take down Chicago. All of a sudden, he's in Chicago, and he's going to the meat locker. It's a vampire bar. And when you say vampire bar, you're saying it as a time that we're about to start Blood Hunt. I don't know if it's... He goes down. I said to you, here's the plan. And I'll tell you the plan. I'll spoil it. He has a liquor canister deal.
Like
a flask of holy water. He's going to go up to the vampire bouncer at the meat locker and then make a convoluted story of, hey, I got to see your boss. I want to get in. Hey, can I give you a drink here? I have this flask full of pure blood and I want to get, hey, and then it's like, I punked you. It's holy water. And he said, all he had to do was walk up and right in his face and go in. That would have been more of a badass move where he just walks up and sprays him. there's no reason to make a story up. Well, it's actually just battery acid. So he thought it was being cool.
That guy's just clocking in to work as a bouncer, and he's dead now.
I mean, the guy, what else has an undead guy to do? He has a night job. He's working a bouncer deal. I mean, give the guy a break.
He's earning an honest day's work.
You see, that's where you're wrong, because it's an honest night's work. Actually, as the hood walks in, the guy whispers, "Thank you." Now he can pass on. This is all he wanted. He didn't like.
He can be as sexy as self.
Again,
now.
You talk about this. Yeah. You talk about it. This guy is now undead. He's going to live forever as a vampire, and he's a stupid bouncer. Yeah, it was probably his job before.
Yep.
Like, he didn't even get the upgrade. So maybe he's happy. It's like, thank you so much.
Thank
but
you.
Again, a page and a half, like, to just do what isn't the badass. The badass move is that he just ends up, and the guy's like, no human. Boom, right in the face. And then he can explain what it is, just like he does anyway, as he goes in. I like where the hood actually, through the narration, is like, hey guys, get this. That wasn't true. I was lying. Because I get the sin, because I'm the sin-getter nonsense ghost rider. Hey! And then he throws the flask, which still has holy water. And you see why?
Mm-hmm.
You might need it, because they go into the vampire bar.
Who wants to go here?
I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Do you need a bouncer? And I'm asking you, because if the bouncer doesn't stop you, you're getting eaten.
Yeah.
Why would you have a bouncer? This should be where they're sending flyers out about how great this place is. You know, you have the whole deal that Dave Navarro shows up sometimes. Everybody's running to him.
Yeah, ladies' night. Everybody, all ladies free. I mean, what is...
Why would you stop the gravy train from coming in? See, it doesn't work. And yeah, but you get a lady vampire is like, I'm eating this and that. And you know, you have this play of, listen, I need you to help me. And what I can bring is I'm going to, you know, fill the streets of Chicago with blood. And I need you to clean it up. And I would, if I'm the vampire lady, I'm like, well, I don't really have to deal with you to just go and clean up. I'll just wait till you do that. I'm not making any deals. I'll just do that. But she's like, oh, that sounds great. Whatever. And then we go and see Zebediah, old Zeb, who again seems to have to break out Johnny Blaze from trouble, where he is in a crazy, I mean, it looks like and should look really horrific, but the art's a little off, but you end up with the spider thing. And then the spider attacks Zebediah. So who knows what's going on? And then you have the whole thing in the next cover, which the cover is by Juan Ferreira, pretty cool,
mm-hmm.
but it is the, oh my God, Chicago will burn. I don't know. I guess maybe it's me, but I don't have a connection in the Marvel Universe much with Chicago anyway, even if it's where he's from. But, you know, it just doesn't feel that big. I'm like, well, he's got Chicago. Chi-Town is done. The Windy City is going down. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I just, if you like this, that's all the power to you. But I'm waiting for the hook. The hook isn't there yet. Two issues now, and I know it's only two. We usually say we give it three. But the hook of me saying, I have to read this. Oh, my God, the hood. That's so cool. Oh, I get it now. I didn't say any of those. I'm sitting there thinking of, why did he end up making that big story up and not just spray him with the water? There was no reason.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, he couldn't get it.
Based on the cover or whatever else, it's just a Johnny gets the power back eventually story. So...
you're going to change these things up. There has to be a reason. It has to be cool. It has to elevate something. Now, I think it's just here to say, I need Johnny Blaze back. It's like the new Coke and classic Coke is Johnny Blaze is going to come back. And now all of a sudden, we love the classic Coke now. We hate that new Coke. That's all the hood is, new Coke. And it's nonsense. Mm-hmm. But we will move on to the last issue of Me and You. I actually thought we'd be a little more
positive. What were the scores on this one, though?
On this, oh, yeah. What is your score?
5.5.
Yeah, mine's a 5. Just a straight 5.
5.5.
You know? Just a...
I like Juan Ferrer's covers, at least.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. All right, look at that. Look at the hood there. It's funny, too, when you do look at the hood as Ghost Rider, he really isn't that much different than his normal diesel.
No, he was already possessed by the devil. A devil. He already had similar powers. It's not a great leap. It's nothing.
No. Yeah. So there you go.
He's got guns. What's he doing with those guns?
I see those guns. I don't know.
That's his thing. That's the hood's thing.
He shoots you. Yeah, he's doing that. He'll jump on a tricycle. Start peeling out on that. Danny Kitch is so mad right now. He's like, you did it. He's just
copyright infringement.
He's going to jump in a charger. Next, it's going to be the health charger. He's just going to go through the deal. Then he needs a chopper. That's all.
Jason Aaron kind of burned me out on all those. He was doing all those different versions of Ghost Rider.
At least get something, though, like what the hood would be on. Maybe get him, I don't know, like some sort of like goblin glide or something. Mm-hmm. Something different. Something crazy. Something cool. But this isn't that cool. Mm-hmm. But we'll move on to the last book that me and you will be talking about. And this is The Spectacular Spider-Man. Number 2, Arachnobatics, but that's with a C-S. I want to tell you, this is written by Greg Wiseman, pencils by Umberto Ramos, inks by Victor Olazaba, colors by Edgar Delgado, letters by VC's Joe Caramagna. When this book first came out, the first issue last month, I swear to God, I thought it was delayed because I could barely remember anything about this book except for the running gag of being a regular. So when you start this off and you end up having a burned up body, you have Jane Foster there in the morgue, all this stuff. I had no idea. And then
did
I'm
this
like,
happen? We saw this?
We saw when they went into that lab that somebody was dead, but it didn't seem like they were burned up. This seems to be the connection from the recap, but the idea of it does not play out very well to me, step A to B, because we're not getting anything but this detective that we barely knew. There's too many characters in this book already. There's too many scenes that make no sense. We keep doing. Remember last issue? Now I'm starting to remember. Holy moly, it's all flooding in. Remember the opera where it's the guy's me, 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 and he's doing that and all smiling and whatever. And then we end it, like, we don't get that again. But remember, we got all these weird scenes where people were doing things I and happy that. About it. And we ended up getting these girls that seem to be in Italy. They keep going here. We don't get Opera Boy. But all of this goes in where there's so many different things jammed in. It is as if that you have Greg Wiseman wants to tell 17 stories in this issue. And I told you before, the big story he wants to tell is how Peter Parker is an annoying jerk. But you even think Miles is more annoying. I mean, we could that there's the big debate. They are not that great together.
No, they're just, why would you even hang out? They're just so much annoyances.
They are like just bitching and moaning at each other. But the way that Greg Wiseman is playing this story is that, and this is how I can glean from it. You end up having possibly Arcade, possibly working with Mentallo to get people to come and pretend they're doing some game thing that then ends up mind controlling them into going off and thinking that they're doing their wildest dreams. Who benefits from this? Who benefits from the idea of somebody thinking that they're in Italy making out with their new girlfriend? You know, who benefits from a guy thinking, possibly doing, we don't know because everything's convoluted and not really well set up, that he's in the opera? Me, me, me. Like, who does that benefit? Maybe me as a big opera fan. I'm not an opera fan. That would be ridiculous. So, you know, I'm not like.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we don't know because here's the weird play. You get this detective that's there to look at the burned up body that ended up combusting from every cell exploding. But how does that connect? Is that where you live your crazy life so much that you get supercharged and blow up? We don't know. It's just out of nowhere. Jane Foster's just there to be a name.
All I take from this is Jane Foster, how far are you fallen?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, really.
Like, why are you in this? Like, you're way bigger than this.
People may not realize that this, what type of diss this is, right?
It is.
Here's a diss for me. I'd rather read a Cody Ziegler book than this. And that's being crazy. But that's starting to remind me of the things that he does as well, where you're just having a book to just set up random jokes and nonsense, because then you end up having Spider-Man. Peter is like talking to this detective that we barely know and just find out about, oh, maybe that was Miles Warren involved and there might be clones. But that's one of the things. Then we jump into the sewers where there's a kid running away, yelling, leave me alone, leave me alone, seemingly to be attacked by vermin. This kid specifically is by the end. He's like groping up the vermin. I don't know what happened to change because that hat and the same deal. But I don't know what that means. And then we end up where Miles is going around and goes into the coffee shop. And now we're going to play regular. Miles, Miles, Miles. Everybody's yelling Miles. We've talked about it before. I'm never going back to this place.
I'm going anywhere near this place.
I usually go, like, most of the time here, like, you see people here, right? You have a bunch of people, they're reading the paper. There's a couple people on laptops. They may even be doing work. And everybody who comes in, it interrupts everybody by yelling out their name. And it's supposed to be cool. They're high-fiving, and you end up having Kenny behind the counter. And he's there with Shelly, his girlfriend. I thought they might have even been husband and wife. But in the meantime, you have the Cedric guy, who's one of the other guys involved here, where he is making out with the Shelly because that seems to be his dream. But we don't know if it's real. We don't know if she's doing this because of the jerk. We don't know. She denies everything, but is that because she's a jerk? It's a mess. It's a mess the way it's being told.
Anything that says meanwhile above it is not really happening, maybe?
But then, days later, meanwhile, but even there elsewhere, he wants to play. He's trying to play with tropes of the comic booky stuff, whatever. He's not telling a congruent or consistent story for us to be able to follow, in my mind. You know, the idea because, I mean, I don't want to see, we don't know Shelly and Kenny, but they seem like nice people. Like, I don't want this to be like all of a sudden Kenny is killing Cedric and then they're dead.
Like,
at one point they're going to fight. And that's where you end up because of this regular thing. Also, when they're kissing, I don't know, they like meld into each other. Like there's not enough room going on there. But Cedric comes into the coffee shop then later and is like, hey, Shelly, let's go. I'm glad that me and you are a couple. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Kenny's like, we're stepping outside. And Seymour comes in. Then you have this, that. And then finally, the one guy comes into the shop and says, I don't want to be a regular. I don't want my normal drink.
Throw that in the trash. I don't want it.
And then that gets like the Miles.
Yeah,
because
he's ordering.
It's all convoluted. And then you have little artsy things. Oh, look, you know, the one lady's reading the Hulk and things like that. Yeah. The art's okay. I don't
mind
that.
One of them's looking at Miles weird, too.
Yeah. And you have Funko Pop. It's okay. Like I said, I like the art, actually, this issue. But it's just weird because the story isn't telling. So then we have just meanwhile, like you said, the meanwhile seem to be like not really the deal. You end up having old Turk. He's run away from Daredevil. The Daredevil is not the current Daredevil. It might be the little wink-wink that it's not real. But I could tell you right now that, oh, guess what? This is in the cartoon, you know, continent. You wouldn't know any different. Like, the book is so wacky that you can't even tell. But he ends up where this Turk ends up punching Daredevil out and then has a weird-looking grin.
That's his dream, right? To beat up Daredevil, I guess?
Yeah, and it's the same grin as Cedric who comes in and just looks like, I don't even know what. If somebody walks into some place looking like that, it's like a chipmunk, and he's trying to get a kiss from Shelly. Kenny's mad. He's like, I'm not a jealous guy, but we're taken outside. While that's going on, Miles is the one who's like, I think something's going on here. And Peter's just like, whatever, dude. Like, he's such a bro in this the whole time, but they're trying to figure out, like, man, Cedric wouldn't do that. Maybe we should stop it. But as Spider-Man, I don't know. Then we have meanwhile, we're in Italy with these two girls that we don't know. And they're taking a picture of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I heard a quote once of why it's leaning. We're not going to say that. I told you.
Save that for later.
Yeah, we'll save it for later. But so the Spider-Men are on the job. They end up following Cedric, who's going back to the Arcadium. Which then seems to just lead into the sewers, which then brings up the vermin that also brings up Shift from the Miles book, who since issue the Legacy number 300, which I'd like to see the receipts on that, ends up, coming in and he kills them.
Yeah, he killed them. He smashed them both against the wall.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I think that the problem is you had Shift, right? He's okay. Saladin Ahmed ended up making him. And then Rec Rap happened. And Rec Rap became more popular. You can't have Shift who just glooping and glopping around. You gotta try. It's not working. You like Rec Rap more than me. But I can tell you, he has more of a chance than old Shift.
I don't like Shift.
Shift is just odd and he's gloopy and
he's annoying.
He's just a bad clone. But he's down.
Small his head is on
that
body.
Yeah. And his shoulders are huge. But they're fighting vermin. And then at one point you end up having Peter's like, is that a she vermin? Is that a woman vermin? And you have to have Miles say, oh, my God, that's patriarchy. You can't say that. You're going to get some. I'm like, I want to punch somebody. But yeah, you got to do better, man. I'm like, yeah, yes. A lot of people have to do better in my mind. But yeah, and then he says, tell She-Hulk that. I dare you. I'm like, I don't think She-Hulk would disagree with Miles, but still.
I think She-Hulk would rather be called Hulk, but it's too late now.
Yeah, yeah. So you end up, look at that little head. You're right. I mean, it's really off. But then, like, they're in the sewer with Schiff. And I'm looking to see, I'm telling you, I'm waiting to look to see meanwhile, but they're there. They're talking to Schiff, and he's like, me help vermin. And then they keep saying, oh, man, I get it. The vermin are kind of like Schiff. They're giving you a little background of what the vermin are. Hey, why does he have a five? Oh, didn't you know that? They're all different clones. They try to keep track, all that. Oh, that's why Schiff likes him, because he's a clone. That didn't go well. Oh, then we, like, the camera almost is a joke, where if you ended up where you have three guys talking, the camera moves, and then when it moves back, there's seven other guys there and gals rubbing up on now what looks like big meathead vermin.
Oh, like really caressing them.
And the kid from earlier who was running away yelling, get away from me. He's there with that hat. I don't know what's going on.
That's him. Yeah, that's him.
I don't know what's happening. Is this all a play of they're mind controlling people so that they can rub up on what then looks like to me gangster rapper versions of vermin?
Definitely gangster.
That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it is.
Right? And they have the numbers, but they might as well be a Volkswagen, you know, emblem. Start doing the bebop.
It probably feels pretty good to rub them, though. They're nice and soft.
I don't know what's going on. I'm telling you, at one point, there's just Shift, Miles, and Peter. And then all of a sudden, you end up having, like, off-panel, or at least heroes of their own sewer, and now we have a whole crew of pretty much hype men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, okay, that's good. And then they're like, you're doing good, Shift. Like, this scene means nothing. I think it's just to put Shift in there. Because he says, you're doing good, I'm proud of you. Start. Works in progress, aren't we all? Dude, what happened? I swear to God, anybody who gives us crap about this, like, it's a mess. It's a complete and utter mess.
Yeah.
And the jokes, they're not like, thank God there's not as met, but when they just don't hit, they don't fit the scene, they're just there. And then at the end, you end up where a guy comes in back at the bean. Again, I get Greg Wiseman is playing this as if all these things are now so popular that we know who this is and that, the bean. Oh my God, the bean. You get a guy comes in and says, hey there, Kenny. And you have Kenny say, oh, hey, Marv. So there's where Marvin, that probably is Mentallo, usually has a helmet, but he has this weird looking hat. It looks like a Devo hat / what Rocky wears. You said mm-hmm. about Rocky, but it looks like you could kind of put a couple
shout
layers.
Shout out to Rocky.
Yeah, Rocky, and then a shout out to Devo.
Yeah.
So you end up where you have that going on. And he's like, hey, you guys look like you need some money. You want to beta test our latest game? No, we don't have a lot. So this is where I said the meanwhile with Cedric, I think that was all in his head. Now she's, but it's not even playing the idea of like a, you know, a man who has everything with a black mark, or like, oh my God, you know, this person doesn't realize that's their big dream, whatnot. It's just random, it seems. Again, we start this with a guy whose body blew up from the cellular level. We have Miles Warren, that's mentioned. We have all this, and it just doesn't make sense together.
It doesn't. It's really bad because you tell a linear story to start with. In the first trade, at least, let us get a feel for what's going on and then play around with this
in
stuff.
In my mind, because this book, Spider-Man, you have Miles and Peter. You could have them do, I'm not thinking the vermin stuff is fully random. So you have them do that nonsense, right?
They're doing fighting that. Vermin, that's
in
fine.
In the meantime, you're learning about a couple, Cedric, maybe Shelley and Kenny, but like the idea that they're like, oh, Cedric isn't acting right, but because me and you debated, is she, we don't know Shelley. Is she stepping out? Would you know?
No.
Would you think, oh man, Shelley would never do that? Like, that's what I'm saying. You never really got the lay of the land, and you're already playing with the idea, oh, they're not acting themselves. We don't know what that is. And then we're just going off to Italy. You know, like, hey.
Can you imagine reading these issues for the first time? Like, you're a new, oh, cool, we got both Spider-Men together, and this is what you get? Come on.
People seem to like it more than us. I think they just like the concept. And Greg Wiseman did a lot of great things, but this is not one of them in my mind, because then at the end, he's like, man, we'll give triple the minimum wage. And you have Kenny and Shelley, who they're like, we could get our own place. I'm like,
triple the minimum wage is nothing, dude. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and I think that $40? They actually, like, they own this place. This place was jammed.
You thought they're their owners.
Yeah, I think poor college students. No, but that's the thing. When they say we can get our own place, I think they actually mean like somewhere to live. I don't know.
Yeah, to live. Yeah,
we've never seen anything but them. They start it at 10 a.m., 6 a.m., yeah. and they're closing up.
How are you working a full-time job at a coffee shop?
What place are you going to be there and work from 6 a.m.? Like, they are there the whole day.
And if you're making a minimum wage, why do you care so much about these people?
I swear, I thought they owned it because of the idea that there's nobody. The owner is just... I mean, the idea is
triple the minimum wage. I wouldn't even get out of bed for that.
I think that they're already, they should be getting at least 8 hours of overtime. So I think they'd make the same. Like, they're idiots is what they are, working for nothing. But I'm telling you, why are they opening and closing? So crazy. He's like, mm-hmm. It's like, well, we could use the money, especially if we want our own place next semester. Again, own place, if it is a cup, now you're really not going to be able to study. Oh, God.
Well, this is in Manhattan, too, right? Or I guess it's in the most expensive place to live.
But it says, oh, great, come over to the Arcadium, which, as far as we know, because I don't know where Cedric went when he went into that door. I think that the Arcadium is a sewer. But we said, and then the next issue, I love the idea that at the next issue, the big thing would be, oh, God, we never guessed that the Arcadium was something run by Arcade.
Yeah.
You see his.
I can't do it,
silhouette.
Jim. I can't do an arcade story. I can't.
I know. Right, and then mix him with Mentallo and nonsense. But this jumping back and forth and going. Meanwhile, this book's a wreck. What would you give it?
Do you remember what we gave it last time?
I don't even.
I'm going two. I don't like it at all.
I like the art. I'm going to go 3.5.
Yeah.
People are going to rail into us. I know it.
I don't like the art that much. Umberto Ramos is good sometimes, but it's just throwing me off.
Well,
I don't know.
I think that he doesn't know what the heck's going on either.
Yeah, maybe
he's
that's
trying
what
to figure
is.
Things out. I mean, in this panel progression, he's told, get a webbed up vermin, then have them high-fiving ship, and next bit have guys and gals rubbing up against them. I don't know. And then, oh, by the way, Italy. Oh, you know what? Burned up guy. Oh, guy doesn't want coffee, he wants tea.
Yeah, exactly.
Have Peter yell off of things. They get canceled. Like, well, what's going on? And then in that deal, the next issue would be, and you actually called it, it's Peter with Gwen Stacy and Miles on a date going out with Kamala. Somehow they're going to get mind whammied, and this is going to be their dream. But that even throws Peter in a really awful place, too. Yeah. Oh, God, the Betsy.
I can't help it. It's two. I can't
it's
help
bad.
It.
It's bad. They're going to bail into us.
Write us some emails.
Again,
we'll
the
those.
Thing is with that, too, and there'll be a video. That's where we'll get it. That if you're watching or whatever, and you're already typing in comments, please don't give me the idea. Why do you review it if you don't like it? We're reviewing it because we're reviewing it. These books, we don't know before we decide which books. These are what we're reviewing. And we're here to read it so that maybe we can tell you what we think. You might think different, but maybe... Maybe we save somebody a couple of bucks.
Well,
this is a wreck.
I've been reading Spider-Man my whole life, basically. He's my favorite character. And then you throw this at me. It's tough.
Yeah. And in a thing where, oh, my God, we don't like Zeb Wells' run, right? So
no.
People have jumped to the Ultimate Spider-Man. Oh, my God. Like, this could be just as much jumping. I don't see anybody jumping to this. I see some people saying, I think it's better than you're giving it credit for. I don't think it is. I think I'm being, pretty.
You were pretty generous.
Pretty nice because of the art and but yeah, bring it on. I guess bring it on. But with all that, you're done. You're done for the night. Now I get to go and do some other things. And yeah, we have a couple books left. If you're wondering if we do like comics, I'm telling you this has been. But it's Marvel's landscape of things has been pretty iffy. For a bit now, and I do feel bad when we don't like, but we like Black Panther. Oh no, Black Panther! Let's just go. We're now the Ultimate Universe podcast. It would save us a lot of time and effort, but we hope these things work. This one didn't. All right, and that is it. And this is what we will have next week. We have that big Spider-Man week again. So don't get angry at me. Get angry at Marvel that has a ton of Spidey books, but we have the big one, Ultimate Spider-Man. Number 4, we also have Amazing Spider-Man, number 48, Superior Spider-Man, number 6, and we will also have Daredevil, number 8, and Blade, number 10, possibly Jackpot and Black Cat, number 2. So, yeah, a lot of Spider books as we, usually do have. We like to mix in a couple other things. But thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I will talk to you later.
You are all weirdos.
Weird science is the revolution. Weird science is the revolution.